Have you ever felt like this, that you were standing on one side of the Grand Canyon and God was on the other side? And you felt like that because you just felt so far away from God. And it didn't look like there was any way. You had this enormous canyon in front of you that you could get close to Him, that you could draw near to Him. What's the solution? The Bible tells us, because the Bible gives us a solution to everything. In James chapter 4, verse 8, James tells us what we need to do. In James chapter 4, the writer gives us this memorable verse. James chapter 4, verse 8. James writes, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Seek God, drawing near to God. Certainly this has to be something that we want more than anything, to be close to God. King David talked about this back in Psalm 63. The first two verses of this psalm says this, "O God, You are my God. Early will I seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there's no water. So I've looked for You in the sanctuary to see Your power and Your glory." Years later, the prophet Jeremiah would say that one must seek God with all one's heart. So Christians, we're going to talk about how we draw near to God. Because when we look at the Old Testament, you know, the priest, it was very specific about how they had to approach God. The Bible tells us that if you have been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, you are now a priest. You're a Christian priest. And it is a marvelous office to hold. A wonderful function. So how do I need to approach God? First question. It's answered for us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, in four parts. Hebrews 10, verse 22 will be our main focus here in this first point about how must I approach God. Now those priests, again, it was very specific how they were to approach God. It is for us too. Hebrews 10, verse 22 says, "Let us draw near," talking about drawing near to God, "with a true heart," right, there's one, "in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience," and then number four, "and our bodies washed with pure water." So what, first of all, does it mean to draw near with a true heart? The word true there has kind of two connotations. There's the part that's associated with being sincere and being genuine. All right? Not a hypocrite in any way. This is really who you are. You're real. You're genuine. But there's also a part of that word that means you do this in truth, according to God's truth. Now, there's many religious people who come to God in sincerity. They are very, very sincere, but they don't do so in truth. You know, Jesus had a lot to say about this, but in one place, in Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9, in talking to some Jewish followers, what did He say about them? That instead of following God, they follow what? The traditions of men. That's what they were. That they were following traditions of men, not what God had said to them. And that worship, that drawing near, was in vain. So a genuine heart, a true heart, a sincere heart, is not divided. Not in any way, but it's totally committed, totally dedicated to God. Remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said, I think it was verse 24, "No man can serve two masters." Why? Jesus said, because If he loves one, really loves him, you'd hate the other. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and riches. You can't serve God and Satan. He says you can't do it. Your heart can be divided. If you're going to draw near to God, you draw near to him with all of your being. As Jeremiah said, with all of your heart. Not part of it. It can't be divided. Well, what does it mean to draw near with in full assurance of faith? You know, one of the reasons the book of Hebrews was written was because many of those Christians had a faith that was waning. It was growing cold. It was weakening. And so the writer throughout all of those chapters tries to encourage those people not to give up, to persevere, to increase in their faith. That's what he was trying to do. He said in Hebrews 11, verse 6, this: but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God, draws near, must believe that he is, and, that's not all, that he is a, what? Rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Diligently seek him. With constant effort, persistent, with passion. With passion. If we're going to really draw near to God and expect him to draw near to us, we have to come to him with passion, persistence, perseverance, effort. We have to have full confidence in who God is. Well, how do I draw near to God? With our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. We go back to Hebrews 9. This time, verse 18, he says, therefore, not even the first covenant, talking about the one with the law of Moses, was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept or law to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with what? Blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness. Period. When things were sprinkled, when you go back, especially to the book of Leviticus that talks so much about this, and Exodus, when things were sprinkled, they were cleansed, they were purged, and they were dedicated to God. In other words, all of those things happened with that sprinkling. Well, today when one is immersed in water, what happens? We're cleansed, we're purged, and we're dedicated to God. Like those verses said, our heart is sprinkled with the blood of Christ. So very similar to what happened back during the days of the law of Moses. Then the fourth thing our text says, we have our bodies washed with pure water. You know, those Levitical priests, when they drew near to God, they had to be clean, had to be washed, and they had things to go through to make sure they were. The Bible couldn't be any clearer when we are washed. We're washed when we're immersed in water for the forgiveness of sin. We can't have a clean body until that is done. You know, Paul was told, Acts 22:16, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. And do what? And wash away your sins. That's what he said. 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure, wherefore even baptism doth also now save us. It's not the washing away of the filth of the flesh, but it's an answer of a good conscience toward God. So he says, that's how I must approach God. A true heart, full assurance of faith, a pure conscience, and a clean body. Well, that leads us then, in what ways do I approach God? In other words, what avenues can I approach God? And there are many, of course. I can draw near to God through prayer. Now, some people pray to a God that cannot save. That is not anything new, though. In the days of Isaiah, all the way back in Isaiah, there were people praying to a God who couldn't save. Isaiah 45 and verse 20, Isaiah tells them about that. They were praying to gods that couldn't save. There are many today that people pray to. They may not do it out loud or in any sort of formal way, but that's who they or what they worship, and they can't save. Isaiah says, "Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, you who have escaped from the nations. They have no knowledge," referring to all those other gods, "they have no knowledge who carry the wood of their carved image, and pray to a God that cannot save." None of those so-called gods, those images, could save. They couldn't do anything for them. Isaiah and Jeremiah talk about this over and over and over again, and in the book of Jeremiah, he even makes fun of people who will go out into the woods, cut down a tree, bring it back, carve it into an image, and then bow down to it. He says, "How ridiculous. You're the one that went out and made the image, and now you think it's a god?" Jeremiah would say, "How ridiculous." So, how often do we commune with God? Draw near. We also draw near to Him through repentance. In Psalm 34, the psalmist reveals this. Psalm 34 and verse 18. The psalmist says, "The Lord is near," and we want the Lord to be near, "to those who have a broken heart, and save such as have a contrite spirit." Those that are crushed in their spirit, they realize the magnitude of their sin. See, that's what he's talking about. Only those people who are broken by their sin. They don't view it as something mild and not very important. They realize how awful it is. They can draw near to God. And even before that, Psalm 24, the psalmist says this beginning in verse 3. Psalm 24 and beginning in verse 3. The psalmist says, "Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who can draw near to Him? Or who may stand in His holy place?" He answers, "He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." So do you have sin that needs to be repented of? Well, the first question was, how often do you commune with God, draw near to Him? Well, we draw near to God when we repent of those sins. We also draw near to God through worship. Still in the book of Psalms, in Psalms 95, the psalmist reveals this in verses 6 and 7. Psalms 95, verse 6 and 7. The psalmist says, "O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice." What do? We draw near to worship. We bow down. We kneel before. In John chapter 9, in the New Testament, John says this in verse 31. John chapter 9. And verse 31. "We know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, He hears him." If we're a worshiper of God and does God's will, He hears us. There's another way we can come to God, draw near to Him. It seems real obvious, and that's through the study of God's Word. Through the study of God's Word. You know, you remember Joshua. He was Moses' successor. He was the one that led the children of Israel into the promised land. Listen to what he says in Judges chapter 3. Joshua 3 verse 9, not Judges. Nobody said that. Joshua 3 verse 9. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, and notice his first two words, come here, H-E-R-E, and hear, H-E-A-R, the words of the Lord your God. There's the idea of drawing near. How often do we draw near to God through study of His Word? We can see the Grand Canyon shrinking. When we worship, when we study, when we pray, when we repent, we draw near to God and He draws near to us. So lastly, what are the results from drawing near to God? We're able to experience the closeness of God due to Christ's blood. This is a marvelous passage. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 and 20. Hebrews 10, verses 19 and 20. The writer says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, drawing near by a new and living way which He consecrated for us, how? Through the veil that is His flesh. And that, of course, is right before our text. We get to draw near to God. We can have Christians have an intimacy with God that no one else has in the world. Nobody. Just Christians. We don't need any more blessings besides that. That's enough. But it says, the same Hebrew writer would say in Hebrews 4:16, that when we approach the throne of grace, listen what happens. Let us therefore come boldly. Notice that's the same word he used in Hebrews 10, 19 and 20. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, drawing near, that we may obtain what? Mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I don't know about you, but I need both of them in abundance, like bushel baskets full of them. Mercy and grace. But something else results from drawing near. Peace. Peace. Isaiah 26, verse 3. This is another marvelous verse. Isaiah 26, verse 3. I'm talking about what God will do. It says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Perfect peace. To anybody? No. Only to the one whose mind is stayed on you. God. So we can have peace that the world has no idea about. They can experience, they may claim they have peace, but they don't really have it. Not at all. And lastly, we get a changed life. You know, when you just start in Matthew 1, go all the way through the end of John, you notice something, that when people were with Jesus, they were changed people in one way or another. They were changed people. No one ever came to Jesus and went away the same. They were changed in some way. So when we draw near to God, our life is going to reflect the fact that we've drawn near to God. It's going to be reflected in what we say and what we think and in our behavior, you know, what we do, who we're with. It's going to be reflected in all of that. Toward the end of the book of Hebrews, the writer makes this statement, Hebrews 13, the last chapter, and verse 5. He says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We can leave God by our behavior. We can choose to leave God. But God says he won't leave us unless we choose to leave him. And as we read a few minutes ago, we initially draw near to him when we repent and are baptized. Because we begin a special relationship. One that we have intimacy with God. But then it doesn't end there. We want to draw nearer and nearer to him through how we live. Through worship. Through study. Through prayer, through repentance, and look at the results that come from it. Christians have blessings. They receive things that no other group of people in the world have. And when you think about all the billions of people in the world, the vast majority of them don't know peace, don't know contentment, don't have satisfaction. None of that. But Christians do. So this morning, first of all, are you a Christian? And if you're not, are you ready to make that decision to become one? And if you are, maybe you've not been drawing near to God. You've been letting things of the world interfere. And it's time to make a change. So either way, if you need to come this morning, we want you to do that now, as we stand and sing this song.